Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hey, welcome to episode 4 of The Slab with Chels and Jim. I'm here, I'm Jim, and look who else is here.
It's only Chels. What's she doing here?
Why was he effing Chels straight away? Explicit.
Oh, fucking.
Yeah, lads. Let's just get out. You get one drink in you and you're Larry. I'm scared you're going to glass me.
Hey, I did that once in my youth, and I'm not going back there again. It was a dark time, okay? We all get a bit weird at uni. Have I told that story on YouTube?
What, that's real? I thought that was made up for the... You glassed somebody. Laugh about it. What the fuck?
No, moving on.
What do you mean you glassed somebody?
Jimmy, it's not about glassing someone. It's about...
Of course it is.
Jimmy, we've all been young before.
Yeah?
I'm from the Midlands.
What happened in my youth was that I had Bacardi breezers. I snogged girls. It was awkward.
I had WKDs. I had a nice... We were the best of them.
I didn't glass anyone.
I didn't glass anybody.
Okay. I mean, that sounds like a lie.
It's a very boring story. I've got a couple of stories along these lines. But the main one I remember is not a story at all. We're in a club, I think it was Lava Ignite in Norwich. I don't even know if that's still there. It was second or third year of uni, I want to say third year. My ex-boyfriend was there because we were still living together and we'd all gone out, but like to the same club, but separately. So everyone in our house was there, but they'd all gone separately. Yeah. Well, me with everyone else in the house, yeah, and him separately because he was like antisocial.
So that was the night. Yeah. Lava and Ignite was the night.
Yes. And he had joined rowing club in third year to meet friends that weren't me. And then some bitch was there with him and she was like dancing all up on him. So I got my Corona bottle and I smashed it on the stage of the club and I went up to her.
Charles.
And no, it's fine. Nothing bad happened. Because, well, actually, before that, I'd been pinching her.
Just like, what do you mean you've been pinching
on
her?
On the dance floor. Every time, like,
pinches as well, lobster?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, so every time I went past her on the dance floor, I pinched her back. She had, like, a backless dress on and I would just nip.
In hell.
So, like, really, like, childish, but not, like, bad, you know? Like, not police times. Do you know what I mean? Like, pinch someone.
Yeah, go on. But, yeah, well, enough about the pinching. I want to hear about the glassing.
Well, no, nothing happened with the glassing.
You said you smashed a bottle.
Yeah, so I got my Corona and I smashed it against the... Like, I don't know what it was. It was, like, there was another level. So there was raised level with, a little... gate around it, like you're having a lot of Wetherspoons, but there's two different
bits of floor. The VIP area,
let's call it that. Smashed it, had the bit in my hand that was broken, went up behind her, and one of my housemates saw this, ran over to me, grabbed me, threw me over his shoulder and carried me out.
Thank fuck for that.
Of the club.
Charles, you can't do that.
Don't dance with my ex-boyfriend.
Well, that's all behind us now, okay? We've all grown up. We're on a journey.
Oh, my God. The other day, I was, I don't remember this at all because I was drinking. But someone at work was like, oh, did you have a good time last night or whatever? I was like, I don't know. I don't remember it. It's like, you don't remember it. It's like, we were talking for ages. And like, no, he goes, and a song came on and you grabbed your glass, threw it out of the floor and smashed it. Then took my drink from my hand, threw it out of the floor and smashed it. And then, because it was a rock song. And I was like, this is the work, dude, and it was exclusively work people, and we'd hired out the venue.
How have you not been fired from your job?
I don't know. I've tried so hard.
Not only do you not turn up, you smash glasses at work events.
Yeah, but if I wasn't there, I really don't know who would still be there that, like, made the company seem fun. And, like, I know our CEO just cares about his company being cool and fun, and, like, I'm the only one left that's, like, has any...
I mean, look, that's the one thing you can say about a glassing. It's great for morale. It's like having an office plant. Well, welcome to The Slab. Thanks for popping along. Thanks for joining us. Today, Chels, it is your turn to tell me a story. You're driving the episode, something creepy, something weird... And I'm excited, actually, today for it.
I don't want to like put anyone off really early, and I never would, but I just want to pre-warn that I haven't done as much research as I could have for this specific episode, purely because I was playing Overwatch. But anyway, let's not worry about that. Let's just like... It's,
sell it to me in like a clickbaity way. What's it about?
Uh-oh. Who's breathing fire on women? It all began in 19... It wasn't in 19. I've got that wrong already. Guys, we've had a drink. For anyone who hasn't been following along this evening on the live shows...
Yeah.
Chelsea and Jim have had a drink.
Hey, it's a Friday night. Who hasn't had a drink? And if you've got a drink now or you've got a drink in your fridge, crack one open and have a drink with us.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd love it if you were at home having a drink with us. Not? And not in a disingenuous
way. Not if you're driving.
Oh, no. And if you're at home alone and
or
sad.
Or operating hard, heavy machinery. Or hard machinery. Machinery is usually hard. I can't think of a soft machine.
Sewing machines.
Hard?
Yeah, but the fabric is soft.
Well, yeah, but that's not part of the machine.
And the hearts of women.
A bouncy castle? Is that a machine?
No, absolutely not.
Shall we...
It all began in 1837. What? You
all right? Fine. Go on.
A year engineered into our collective conscious through the works of writers such as Charles Dickens, whose serialised second novel, Oliver Twist, saw its first instalment published by Bentley's Miscellany magazine that very same February. 1837 also saw the death of King William IV, leaving Victoria to take the throne and ushering in a monarchical reign so culturally defining it became known as the Victorian era, seeing massive shifts in economy, industrialization, and global expansion, which made the British Empire the largest empire in history.
Yeah.
Mate, when I wrote that, I was like, shit, I'm not even going to be able to say that properly. And just right now, I'm like, fuck, and I'm drunk. But I got through that. I nailed that
shit.
That
was good, actually, Chelsea. Yeah. I mean, I like the bit where you said monarchical.
But, yeah, I panicked.
That's a brilliant word.
Just before I said it, my brain was like, oh, fuck, you're not going to do it.
Because it's also a bit like maniacal.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds evil, but it's not. It just means she's a monarch.
I wasn't even sure it was a word. I just wrote that down.
She's just doing monarch stuff. Nothing wrong with that.
Bentley's Miscellany. So try saying that when you don't know it's coming.
So Oliver Twist was originally published as a magazine article.
You know, like, a lot of Dickens' work was serialised, and I think it was Dickens. Actually, I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was Dickens where Cliffhanger came from, because they were literally hanging on a cliff at the end of, like, one of the... installments of a serial.
Get the next magazine to find out what happens next. Brilliant.
That's where Cliffhanger came from.
It's like Victorian clickbait. You wouldn't describe now as Elizabethan, but maybe they will in the future.
I don't know. I think we're over that now, because I feel like the monarchs have less impact on culture. Like, you wouldn't define a year anymore, because, like, they're now just a tourist attraction, but back in the day, they controlled a lot of shit, like the government, you know? Whereas today, it's more like Theresa May was in control.
I guess so. But Victoria, during her reign, she didn't do much. Like, for most of it, she was in mourning and she was a bit of a recluse. It
I
is just a way of describing
evening.
That period.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, like, a lot of shit happened in that 60 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, 1837 to around 1900. That's huge for Britain.
That would have been a nuts time.
Do you know what? I can't remember the specific numbers. The British Empire at that time, I think, had 23-ish% of world landmass in their empire. And the second biggest empire is Mongols, with about 16%.
Wow.
But having said that, I mean, the Mongols did it like 600 years earlier and on foot.
Yeah.
Well, on hoof. Because they had horses.
They didn't have hooves for feet. They're
not the devil. We've talked about this before. But the Mongols, like, everyone fucking talks about the Mongols, right? Like, just nailing shit. Like, they just covered all of Europe and all of that area over there.
Mm.
But, yeah, they were, like, 7% less than us. So we...
Industrialization was kicking off.
We won.
We got factories.
We won.
Steam trains.
Yeah.
They were just becoming really popular.
And chimney sweeps.
So you could get about.
Clean, really clean.
Not a great time for, like, working class children.
No,
because you are going to be shoved up a chimney, and that's not fun for a child.
But, mate, one thing you can say about the Victorian era, clean chimneys.
They did have bloody clean chimneys.
Sparkling. You could eat your dinner off one of those chimneys.
It'd be difficult.
Have a hog roast up one of them.
Yeah. You could probably stick some spaghetti to the wall and just sort of suck it off.
You right?
Do you want to carry on with the...
How did you perceive until I said to you, oh, Oliver Twist died then. How do you see 1837 in your mind?
I see it as quite a bleak time. I think it's probably the time where, like, it went from being... The country went from being lots of little villages where everything was quite rural and quite pastoral and, in my head, quite romantic. So everything suddenly become a little bit edgy. Smog is a new thing. People are wearing top hats.
Mall goths.
People are bewildered by this new thing, the steam train. It's going so fast. The first steam train, I think, went like 20 miles per hour, but people were so frightened of it, they thought it was going to like peel their skin off their faces.
Is that true, though? Or is that like the movie myth?
No, it's recorded in books. I did a module on it at university.
Well, I did a module in the first movie, and you know how it was that train coming towards the screen? It was like everyone jumped out of the way. Apparently, that's not true.
This is different. There's reports of people being on the train for the first time and being absolutely terrified by it. And scientists and doctors saying they weren't sure if it was going to fuck up your insides because of the speed it was going. But it was going like 20 miles per hour. But before, like, that's nuts. Before that, the only way you could go that fast was if you were on the back of a horse.
I feel like these days, whatever technological advancements we make, we're not going to be that surprised by it and we'll be trusting of it. Like, even if it's incredibly new, even if they're like, we're going to go and live on Mars, we'd be like, yeah, cool, you've worked it out. But in those days, something like going 20 miles per hour, you're like, oh, maybe it's going to be bad.
Yeah, but also, I don't think I would be... I wouldn't go up to space.
Oh, no, would I? It's claustrophobic and I've been
Richard
here, people.
If Richard Branson was like, oh, get on my Virgin spacecraft. No, I don't want to. Not until at least 1,000 people have done it before.
What about if Elon Musk said it?
I'd trust him less.
You trust
him? Follow him on Twitter. He was on about opening a sweet shop the other day.
Yeah, but he's dating Grimes.
That's
so he's
true.
Cool.
He's looked out there.
I think I trust tech now. I'm like, yeah, we've done it.
I wouldn't get in a private jet.
What?
They crash all the time.
Oh.
I've got a fear of small aircraft.
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't want to be.
I wouldn't even get in a helicopter.
I feel like it's probably easier to drive a plane than a car, though, because you can't veer into the other lane.
It's easier to drive a plane than a car?
Yes, Jim. I said it. Challenge me. Had for some time now been reporting strange sightings manifesting as everything from a white ghostly bull to an imp to an unearthly warrior. Cut to October. Victoria's feet are well under the palace's table, and a young girl called Mary Stevens is walking through Clapham Common on her way to Lavender Hill, where she worked as a servant. However, unbeknownst to Mary, an evil was lurking. As she turned through a quaint dark alley, a figure leapt out at her, restraining her with long, wily arms, kissing her face, ripping her clothes, and tearing at her flesh. Mary screamed, panic-stricken. Luckily, her outburst startled the figure, and it fled from the scene as passers-by were alerted to the attack. When questioned, Mary described what grabbed her as claws, cold and corpse-like, belonging to an evil presence.
Oh. Mary. I used to live near Clapham Common.
Oh, yeah, did you?
Yeah, know Lavender Hill quite well.
Do you know Mary?
I don't know Mary.
Didn't bump into Mary.
It was only about 3 years ago I lived there, not 150, though. But it's a long walk from Clapham Common to Lavender Hill.
Well, I mean, in those days, what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, exactly.
As a servant, you're not going to get your horse and carriage.
No, you can't afford it.
Which comes into play later, by the way.
So is it quite a grimy area then at that time?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, all of London was... I always imagine this period of time as never having, like, a daylight moment.
Mm.
It's always just, like, a smoggy dusk, even at noon.
Yeah, do you ever walk around, though, like now, if you're just in nature? It doesn't happen very often living in London. But sometimes I'll be walking through a park or whatever on a sunny day. And if there's no people around, I'd be like, this is... People who were alive 500 years ago would have experienced this and seen basically exactly this. Like, that hasn't changed. Like, a sunny day now is the same as a sunny day in 1837.
I don't think that specifically, but I always, always think, I wonder who's dead under my feet.
That's a different thought.
Especially in the tube.
Mm.
Like, I look out the tube, I'm like, directly through that tunnel are thousands of bodies, probably. Also, like, were the Romans here?
What do you mean thousands of bodies, probably? Probably not.
Well, you know, every time they make a new tube station, they have to, like, get rid of thousands of bodies. Depends whereabouts they're doing it. If they're doing it near the plague pits, loads.
They found a few. Yeah, they did find a few.
It's not a few.
Do you ever imagine, like, what people would look like in Victorian times?
Yeah, because I always worry that my soulmate is dead.
Mm.
Because you lived before me. And, like, of everyone alive today, maybe they're not as right for me as some, like, cheeky chap from 1850.
You'd be good in 1850, actually.
No.
You'd be a barmaid, I think.
How dare you?
You'd be a buxom barmaid.
I wouldn't be buxom, I can tell you that much. I'd be more of a Jane Austen. Given... Ooh, I'm smart as the men.
What would I be?
Yeah, frowned upon. No, like, they were all gay, I think.
No, they weren't. They were.
They were all closeted.
There was a small fraction who were. Oscar Wilde and his crew.
He wasn't around in 1830, Jim.
Yeah, well, a little bit later. 70 years later. 60 years later.
Jesus, bitch. No, I think they were a lot gay.
No.
I think, but for different reasons. I feel like the rich were gay. You didn't get a gay poor in the 1830s.
Well, you did, but they wouldn't be able to come out. And even the rich, of course they wouldn't.
They did. They would, like...
Completely frowned
upon.
No,
they would have a cigar and a whiskey and then a dick suck. Like, they wouldn't. Was what they were doing.
No.
They were...
No way.
But do you know why, though? And it wasn't even because probably they were gay. It was because they were like, men are better than women. We should fuck each other.
You've really turned that into something...
No, I think that's valid. I think that's interesting, actually. If you're so much better than us, patriarchy, why don't you fuck each other?
I'm trying, Chels.
You're doing God's work, Jim.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I don't think I'd like to be alive in 1837, because we're from the Midlands. I've traced my family tree. I know that I'd be working down a mine. And I've got a bad back at the best of times. Crouched over all day, it wouldn't last 5 minutes.
That's awful. I'm assuming my family were fishermen. Because my second name is Fisher.
Yeah.
Love that. I think I would be happy to be just, like, in the moors.
You're not going to catch many fish in the moors, are you?
I don't know. What's Wrexham? Wrexham?
That's a moor.
The Wash.
You'd be in the sea. Oh, yeah.
I'd be in the Wash. I'm near the docks. Oh, I'd be a dock whore. I'd fuck all the French. Did they come over in the 1830s?
Well, you'd take anything.
I would. As long as it had a good fringe. Were fringes in?
I think fringes were. Like, sometimes you'll see on Reddit a colourised picture of Victorian and you're like, oh yeah, I would.
Tell you what, if you don't see a Victorian in, like, a weird wig, they've always got great hair. You never see a bald Victorian.
That's not true.
Isn't it?
Yeah, loads of them are bald. I think they had bad hair.
Really? Not thick, brown Spanish hair?
Are you just thinking of one specific Victorian?
I might just be thinking of Harry Styles, because one time he dressed in old worldy clothes.
He wore a top hat once.
He did.
Some probably did look like that.
When I imagine Victorian chimney sweeps, they're all sexy boys. But like 27. I'm getting older, but I don't know it.
But they were like... literally children that they shoved up there, like 7 or 8 years
old.
Yeah,
I don't know that. Like, in my brain, I'm like...
Yeah, no, I'm not saying... Yeah.
I didn't see it. My only perception of chimney sweeps is being, like, 9 years old and watching Oliver Twist on the TV and there's been, like, a cute fucking guy playing Oliver. Like, and I'm like, oh, I'd fuck him. So now, as an adult woman, I'm like, oh, I'd fuck a chimney sweep.
I just don't know why... putting a kid up a chimney was a better option than just putting a long brush up a chimney.
They had long brushes on the kids.
Yeah, well, just shove it up. You don't need to send the kid up with it, do you?
It's cheaper. I don't, Jim.
It's not cheaper than a long brush.
I don't know how much a kid costs.
Like, I know that technology was more primitive back then. They didn't have Snapchat. They didn't have Jenga. But they've got a long brush. It's just a brush on a long stick.
A chimney Roomba.
Don't put a kid up there.
Do put a kid up there.
Don't put a kid up there.
He's limber. He's got tiny hands.
You don't need tiny hands to clean a chimney.
I don't, Jim. Have you ever even seen a fucking chimney, honestly?
I've got a chimney in my house.
Oh, well, la-di-da, we can't all afford a fucking chimney, Jim. Mm. Some of us rent in London.
Well, you know.
The following day saw a second strange attack. A figure jumped in front of a carriage, causing the coachman to swerve, crash, and injure himself. The figure is then said to have fled the scene, jumping over a 9-foot wall whilst cackling with high-pitched laughter. This incident, and the many similar attacks that followed, and the entity the moniker of Springheel Jack. Now, having read a lot about the genesis of Springheel Jack, I'd say his proclivity for high jump is the least interesting thing about him. He's shape-shifting. He's got black eyes. He's sometimes, like, invisible. Sometimes he has red eyes. Essentially, he's like a maniac. He's like a ghostly devil, and everyone's gone, oh, but let's talk about his jumping.
Well, I mean, that is impressive, though. I'd love to be able to jump high. I'm not a good jumper. I never have been, because I'm quite limmy.
Yeah, but long limbs. A lot of normal people can jump. You've got, like, a demon assaulting women, and you don't call him, like, gropey Lucifer. You call him Springheel Jack.
What are his heels like? Is he wearing high heels?
Well, I mean, there's illustrations of him. They always put, like, a little heel on him. But that, like a kitten again, heel. My point is, it's not a photo. Maybe the illustration has been influenced by the name. Some of them have got little springs.
I hear
springs.
What you're saying.
Mm. So, what came first, the chicken or the apple?
Well, I mean, in Victorian times as well, they loved a ghost story. So I imagine this would have been like tabloid news. This is like Kerry Katona going bankrupt.
In 2000, yeah.
Absolutely ran away with this. Oh, she's still in the news, Charles.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, don't think that that is an outdated reference, because it absolutely isn't. What happened to the servant girl?
She was fine. She was absolutely fine.
But did they, like, was she recorded to have injuries on herself? Like, is there any proof here that she was attacked?
Well, her clothes were ripped. She was attacked, but there's
did
no...
Did she mention red eyes? Just a corpsey claw?
She was more focused on the hands.
That could just be a
long nail. Sure.
Hand. Yeah.
But then we're introduced to Jane Allsop and Lucy Scales.
Mm.
Following Mary's attack and multiple sightings of this figure now known as Springheel Jack, who was jumping in front of carriages, was jumping out women, etc. One night, Jane and her sister were safely locked inside the house when there was a rapping at the door. Why does that sound so good? Why does that sound good? It sounds
just
like,
knocking on a...
I don't know if that's going to come out. Anyway, when there was a rapping at the door... Lose yourself in the moment, the music.
Anyway. Spaghetti on his top hat already. That's not even what it...
Someone knocked on the door and they were like, dude, no. Mom, we've caught Springheel Jack. Come and help us. We've detained him. We need you to come help. We need you to alert people. So Jane went out. She followed the man. He then proceeded to attack her, breathe blue flames on her, and she said that his eyes turned red and he attacked her. And then as she was screaming, her sister, who was in the house at the time, ran out to her sister, at which point he then made his escape. So
what the fuck, how did they restrain him at first?
No, the man was Springheel Jack was pretending that they'd caught Springheel Jack.
Oh, so he was to, like, lure them out.
Yeah, we've caught him. Come with me. I need you to alert, like, whomever, like the neighbors, the police, etc. Because they didn't have, like, fucking phones in those days,
no.
Right?
Telegram.
So she came out. It was him. He attacked her. And she said that he breathed blue flames on her. A little while later, a lady called Lucy Scales, similar situation. Blue flames being attacked in the street.
Who are they telling about this? Are they telling the police? Was the police even a thing then?
It went around London. There were vigilante groups. Imagine, you know, in Beauty and the Beast, when they all like, the beast, we're going to kill the beast. That's not the song, but that it could have been. John Williams, if you're listening.
Absolutely could have been.
There was groups of people going around London hunting Springheel Jack with the stereotypical pitchfork group looking for him, hunting him down.
And the reports of the blue flame,
how
close together were those?
They were fairly close together.
Is there a chance that this... Was it Lucy the second?
Yeah.
Could she have read about it and then just, like, copied that just for a laugh, just to, like, be a bit of a troll?
Potentially. I mean, at this point, from then, like, Jane and Lucy were the two most famous reported attacks of Springheel Jack. Obviously, the rest of it is sighting. It says, I was in an alley, a man jumped out at me, I was in my carriage, I swerved. And these sightings went on for until about 1906, 1907, when the last one was reported. And I think that was in Liverpool.
Wow, he's getting about then.
So he really did get about.
He did travel.
During this time, the theories were that there was Spring-Heeled Jack, but then there were people mimicking him. So they would hear about this legend, and then people would go out and pretend to be him. So that's why it spread across the country.
Mm.
Or they believe that the initial attacks were done by a group of rich men on a bet. So they would dress up and they would attack women to entertain themselves.
A bet? How would they win the bet?
Well, it's just like a dare, do you know?
Oh, like a dare?
Yeah.
Well, it's something to do, isn't it? There's very little back then. They must have been bored off their tits.
They didn't have Netflix.
They didn't have Netflix.
But they had Spring-Heeled Jack.
I mean, how are they creating the fire, though? A blue flame? Like, is that some sort of... Is it like, you know, have you ever held a lighter in front of a bottle of deodorant?
No, I haven't, because
Maybe it's that.
That's something that I've always wondered. You know, people do that all the fucking time. Why doesn't the fire go back into the deodorant and explode it?
Well, that was what people always said would happen.
Yeah.
Like parents, like, oh, don't do that thing with the deodorant because it'll go back in and explode. I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, but why not?
Because it's like, it's out rather than in.
Spring-Heeled Jack was terrorising London to the point that even the guards at the military base in Aldershot at the time, it was a bit late, I think it was 1877 at this point.
Okay.
So, but between the, in the like 70-year period during which people were talking about Spring-Heeled Jack in 1877, the guards at Aldershot military base were saying that they were being terrorised by a figure that they suggested was in the likeness of Spring-Heeled Jack.
What, I mean, let's talk about the likeness. We've got the red eyes. But what's his face look like?
Well, again, this is the issue for me. It changes. Here's something else. Much later, I think, than the 1900s, so after he left London, there was a figure reported in Cape Cod called the Black Flash, who had the genesis of Spring-Heeled Jack, but was seen to levitate in the air, who was seen to appear somewhere, and as soon as you would like go to strike him, to fight back, he would appear somewhere else far away.
Annoying.
He's an
like those games
character.
You get where you have to try and hit Whack-a-mole. The snake. Whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-jack.
Yeah.
Jacking off. This is something that had the genesis in 1837 London, but then became so well known, became an archetype, and then travelled somehow via word of mouth around the world so that rumours sprung up everywhere. More recently, the Surrey Comet reported that a man called Scott Martin claimed he and his family were confronted by a dark figure with no features that vaulted over a dual carriageway and over a 15-foot bank whilst they were on a taxi ride home on Valentine's Day 2015. And apparently the taxi driver was so terrified he didn't want to drive back on his own.
What? He's back.
Jack's
and that
back,
is a
baby.
Big jump. He's really been working on those jumps.
He's sprung into the future. Well, in the past for us, but...
What's he been doing for the last 100 years?
Eating beans.
Yeah, boy. So he jumped over the whole dual carriageway.
This is after lots and lots of internet searching.
Now, what I'll say is this.
Go on.
I'm going to say it now. This is it.
Go on.
If someone jumps over a dual carriageway, not that I've seen it, that's going to be quite a quick movement. I would say too quick for you to be able to tell whether somebody's face has features or not. Especially if it's in the dark.
I don't know if it's in the dark.
They said in the evening, didn't they? On Valentine's Day.
They just said on Valentine's Day.
Okay. In my head, it's in the dark.
Well, it's always is. You're not going to get haunted in the day.
But still, if someone's jumping over you, you're not... I mean, that's enough for it to be scary.
From all other viewpoints, it ended in the early 1900s. That was the legend of Spring-Heeled Jack. He had like an 80-year reign. Mm. Apart from this one blog that's talking about the Surrey Comet reporting on this sighting in 2015.
Did anyone investigate it? Did they ever look on CCTV? Was there any more?
No, that's it.
That was it. They just said they saw it. It was weird. Him. Taxi driver was freaked out about it.
We were all scared. I've got a little boy. He was scared too.
Right. Okay.
That's Spring-Heeled Jack.
Was a lot of there's some questions.
Yeah, well, let's go through them.
Has anyone done a drawing of Spring-Heeled Jack who's seen him?
So, because he was so infamous in that period, I don't think anyone that's seen him has drawn him, but he became a bit of a character in the old Penny Dreadfuls.
Mm.
So, he was very much a figure of folklore at that point. He started out as rumour, but he was turned into something of fiction.
Okay.
So I guess the lines blurred at that point between like oh, here's some sightings and here's the news, and then here's some fiction that you're buying, here's something that's going to scare your kids, here's an entertaining version of Jack.
Was anyone arrested for pretending to be Sprinkle Jack?
There were theories that, as I said, like, rich people were doing it, and I see it as a sort of, you know, like the Riot Club movie.
Yeah.
Or the Bullingdon Club from Oxford, right? That's what it's based on. I feel like it could have been that sort of thing. Maybe it was an initiation.
Well, there are similar theories for Jack the Ripper.
Why is everyone so hung up on the name Jack at that time?
I don't know.
Why
I'm wondering, is there some kind of connection?
I don't think there is. I googled it and nothing came up. They just said, don't get him confused.
No, absolutely not.
Different names. I mean, same
although
name.
Maybe when Jack the Ripper started doing his murder, people did think it was Sprinkle Jack.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Where did the name
Jack the Ripper's always had demonic, ghostly connotations.
Why is he called Jack?
There were some letters that were sent around the time signed Jack the Ripper. But I think it was...
Because his name was Jack the Ripper.
But I think it was just a name given by the press. So maybe Jack... Did it have, like, an evil connotation?
Who? Sprinkle Jack?
No, the name Jack.
I don't think so.
Did it have a bad rep?
It's just Jack. I mean, it's one of the most old school names.
But is it, like, kind of like... Was it the Victorian equivalent of a chavvy name?
No, and I don't think you can say Chav anymore.
Don't say Chav,
guys. Is it like Damien? You know, like now Damien's the devil, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think so. I didn't come across that research that Jack was bad.
I mean, why did it fizzle out?
Didn't see him anymore.
People just stopped seeing him?
Yeah.
Well, that's quite interesting. So either that is the story's just died out, so people aren't pretending to have seen him, or it is a real Sprinkle Jack who's somehow been satisfied by the real world and decided to just go back down to wherever he came from. I mean, it sounds very demonic.
Well, people stop seeing stuff, Jim. Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Neither of those have been seen for a very long time. The Beast of Bodmin.
Yeah.
Not seen.
Yeah. Do you think that's because we've got cameras on us all the time now?
Yeah, you can't really prove that you saw... If you can't prove that you saw it and everyone's looking for it and you don't see it...
Do you think it's because... Film photography has died out as well, and you got more glitches with film photography than you do with digital photography.
Yeah, although you can Photoshop things more easily now, but people are so hip to that. Because, like, the Codrington Fairies that we've talked about before.
Yeah.
One day we'll Google what they're actually called. The Cottington Fairies? Yeah. Whatever. They were just paper. But everyone was like, oh my god. Like,
it's a real thing.
It was so easy to...
And the spaceman of... Whatever it is.
It's the back of a head.
It's just the back of a head. And you can... But back in the day when you couldn't just manipulate a photo, maybe it was a spaceman. Now you can just scan that in, up the contrast, up the polarisation, and see quite easily that it's just a mum bending over.
But also you didn't know enough to know that those things weren't real. Like, these days we're like, oh, we've got so much stuff monitoring shit all the time, it would pick up a ghost. But in the 1830s, you're like, maybe ghosts are real. I don't know science. We don't know about, like, black holes. And we don't have cameras. Mm. Maybe there's ghosts because death is unusual and we can't understand it.
Also, figures like Sprinkle Jack and Jack the Ripper, I guess, were kind of the reality stars of the day. Like, that was what sold magazines and papers. I feel like the line between fiction and reality was... as blurred as it is now, actually, in many ways.
You have to talk about something.
You've got to talk about something. That's exciting. It's something to gossip about. And I suppose that we're kind of still like that now, really. And it's not that we are more informed than ever, but I feel like it's kind of come full circle and there's a wave of being anti-expert and anti-fact now, and there's a real rise in conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
We're questioning things, even though we've got more fact than ever.
But it's questioning the sort of Machiavellian nature of society and not the unknown. It's questioning, like, oh, was 9/11 an inside job?
Mm.
Well, obviously, like, also we're like, is the Earth flat? I don't know where those people are coming from.
I don't know where they're coming from.
That's just unrelatable.
I've been on a plane. It's not flat.
Well, have you told them that?
I've tried. What's underneath it?
What do you mean?
What do they say about that? If the Earth's flat, well, what's on the other side?
Is it turtles? I just don't think they genuinely believe it. I think they're just saying it to be contrarian.
I think so, yeah.
Like, I get it when people are like, the moon landing was faked. I understand, because, like, that footage is weird.
Mm.
To the point where they might have even doctored the footage even though they landed on the moon. Like, it's just fucking odd.
Yeah.
9/11, there are weird things about it if you look into it too much, right? And also, obviously,
And the political fallout was definitely...
they had motives.
There's a lot of controversy there about...
Distrusting the government, all of that shit. So I get that. Flat Earth, I don't know what you're doing, mate. I can't...
Why would people lie about that? Why would that be a conspiracy worth sustaining? So that was the podcast. Thank you for listening. That was the mysterious and ghostly tale of Spring Hill Jack. Chelsea's just having a wee now, so I'm finishing the podcast on my own. We'll be back next week with more. As always, if you want to email us, we are jimandchels@gmail.com. Oh, and thank you to everybody who's Patreoning us. We love you. If you would like to support us on Patreon, we would love that. We're really close to hitting our target. Maybe by the time this goes up, we'll have hit our target. But we're currently on, I think, $199. Our target is $200. So that is just amazing that we're about to hit that. So yeah, thanks to everyone on Patreon. If you want to join us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/ChelseaAndJim. Chels?
Yeah.
I hope you've enjoyed the episode. We love you. Goodbye. Say bye, Chels.
Hi guys, Chels here. I don't know how many of you are still going to be listening to this part, but whilst I was editing the podcast today, I noticed that when I was talking about Mary, who was the first to be attacked by Spring Hill Jack, whilst I'm telling the story, you can hear a ghostly scream in the background. It's not a scream, it's more of a wail. Just before I say the words, Mary screamed as well. I'm going to play it now, but I just want to say... It's episode 4 and we've already caught a fucking ghost on the podcast. So here it is. And tearing at her flesh. Mary you'll notice it was between the two words that I said. I'm gonna play it again and enhance that moment. And tearing at her flesh. Mary so let us know what you think. Just a little tidbit there for you. As Jim said in the last conclusion, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. Follow us on Chelsea and Jim on Twitter, Chelsea and Jim on YouTube, Chelsea and Jim on Patreon, and Jim and Chelsea on Gmail. Thanks so much to everyone that's been listening. Really appreciate it. And see you next episode.